are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Thursday, September 24th. I am your host, Ben Stevens, and my co-host, Isaiah Hole, the host of Locked On Wolverines, the publisher of WolverinesWire.com. The last time we spoke, Isaiah, we were breaking down our initial reaction to the fact that Big Ten football was back into our lives. This Thursday, not as exciting, but it's not also not terribly exciting because we're going to be breaking down the Big Ten schedule, and we're going to be doing it all powered by Rock Auto, because today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. Isaiah, if you remember from last week, I always sing this jingle: all the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto, rockauto.com, today's episode sponsor. So that, at least, kicking it off with some energy coming off the jingle. It has been a week, Isaiah, since we found out the Big Ten football season would be coming back the weekend of October 24th. We have a schedule. We're getting back in the flow of a training camp. How are you dealing with everything? What has this whirlwind of a week been like for you?
I mean, it's been crazy because you're trying to kind of parse everything, try to figure out, who's the team that you're covering, which for me, it's Michigan. Who's Michigan playing? And you're looking at some of the other schedules as well. And, you know, there's been a lot of complaints, not just from Michigan fans, but Michigan players publicly about Ohio State's cakewalk of a schedule.
Yep.
And we've had some players to talk to in the meantime. We had Josh Gattis to talk to today. So, I mean, it's been a lot just trying to figure out what's happening right now. And it's kind of like having Big Ten media days, but at the same time, like, you're not getting the overwhelming sense of, all right, I've got all these coaches talking and all these players talking. Instead, you're getting a schedule. Every now and again, you get coaches and players thrown at you just randomly with that when you're almost not expecting it. You have a little bit of time to prepare, but not much. And you're trying to figure out kind of what's going on. So it's like Big Ten media days blindfolded. Yeah. With noise-canceling headphones on and trying to kind of feel your way through everything that's happening at the moment. So it's been fun, though. I mean, it's just been fun knowing that we have football that's actually coming. And I feel like people don't really realize that yet, just kind of based off of looking at my page numbers at Wolverine's Wire. But at the same time, like, people got really, really excited for like a quick minute, right? And then it was like, oh, okay, but that's still not for like 6 weeks. So we're just going to go ahead and just chill out as if nothing else is happening.
Right. It's been incredible to talk about actual football matchups, talking about players that might break out this year in the Big Ten season, talking about our favorite weeks of the Big Ten season. But I still think for fans, it's a little bit away, and it has been such a weird 2020 sports world and otherwise, that it's still taking a little bit of time to get used to, like, oh, this would be like fall camp. This would be like the preseason previews and everything. So I ask you, because you are directly in the thick of it in Ann Arbor, Michigan right now, Joe Milton hype scale, 1 to 10, give it to me.
I mean, if you're to ask those inside the program, I mean, they might temper it a little bit and say, mm-hmm. like, well, you know, it's probably like a 7 out of 10. And, we have a lot of good quarterbacks. And I mean, they won't publicly say he's the starter as of yet, but it's obvious that that's the case.
Right.
However, I mean, what I've been hearing just behind closed doors for not just now, and I haven't actually talked to anybody in the last week, but going back for a long time here, talking back to when he first came on campus, the hype for him was 10 out of 10, maybe 11 out of 10.
Oh,
now he's not there anymore, but like Pep Hamilton was the guy who brought him in. Mm-hmm. He's now with the quarterbacks coach over at the Los Angeles Chargers. But I remember talking to someone close to him, and that they had said that the belief was that he had future number one overall draft pick type written all over him.
Wow.
And I feel like the hype isn't going to die down in that sense, especially when you have Urban Meyer during the Big Ten schedule reveal say that he went over in 2018 to watch the quarterback warmups and said he saw a Cam Newton lookalike.
Wow.
So, I mean, now we don't know if he's Cam Newton. That is Joe Milton's favorite player. Mm. So that might play part of it. But I mean, some people have said Dante Culpepper might be more who he is. And I think that might be accurate. But I mean, he's a huge guy, 6'5", 245 pounds, cannon arm, not a guy who is a typical dual threat. He is more of a pocket passer, but he does stuff with his legs. So, yeah, and when we talked to Josh Gattis today, I mean, he tried to temper the enthusiasm here and there, but then immediately would be like, he makes these wild plays that are not just stuff that you see, you know, he's like, it might just be at practice, but it's not just stuff that you would see in college football, stuff you'd say at the NFL level. So you're hearing stuff like that. And I understand that's what happens in Ann Arbor every offseason. I do think that it is warranted in the sense that I think that everyone I've ever talked to that's evaluated Joe Milton in a professional sense has told me that the same thing. He, you know, he was raw coming in. Mm-hmm. If he can hone his potential, then he is bar none going to be one of the best quarterbacks. But, I mean, you have to get out there. You have to read defenses. You have to connect with wide receivers, whoever those wide receivers might be. It's not like everyone's got LSU's receivers or Clemson's receivers out there. I think Michigan has a really good group of receivers. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I mean, it's a lot of untested, and we'll see what happens. So you heard it here first. He's going to win a Heisman Trophy.
Wow.
He's going to win a Super Bowl.
Wow.
He's going to win a Stanley Cup.
Wow.
And a Tony Award.
Wow. And a Tony Award. So he can act and sing a little bit. That's pretty impressive. He's a real full package, that Joe Milton guy.
He's going to get an EGOT, man. He's going to get an EGOT.
That's impressive stuff. If he can bring Lord Stanley's Cup to Ann Arbor, Michigan, he's going to be a legend beyond his Heisman and Super Bowl. That, by the way, a Heisman, maybe not Super Bowl yet, but Cam Newton has played in a Super Bowl after winning the Heisman, and he's been an MVP, so we'll see. And when Urban Meyer said he saw Cam Newton across the field, I don't think he was describing Shea Patterson. Regardless, that's history now in Ann Arbor. So like you mentioned, Urban Meyer mentioned his praise for Joe Milton during Fox's scheduled release of the Big Ten schedule, the third iteration. Isaiah Hull, as you were watching it all fold out on Saturday morning, what was your overall impression seeing the Big Ten schedule be released?
That I wish that they would have hurried up and released it all at once, because you also had Jim Harbaugh and Justin Fields talking over at the same time on ESPN. So really fun competing interest going on right there, right that moment. But I thought it was about what I expected. And I think it was really funny to kind of hear in the aftermath, Nebraska be like, well, they screwed us, because it was like, well, you knew that they were going to drop one game from your original schedule. You knew that going in.
Right.
So, with Ohio State being a protected crossover, you knew that Ohio State, that game wasn't going away. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of funny, but I mean, it was about basically like I thought. Actually, it was pretty close to what I had predicted. I believe on my podcast, it was almost exactly what Zach Shaw from 24/7 Sports, my former colleague, what he predicted, I think almost to the week. Hmm. But, I mean, as far as Michigan was concerned, it was what I was expecting. I mean, pretty much for everybody, because you knew that there wasn't going to suddenly be a team that didn't have, you know, Ohio State on the schedule, for instance, that was suddenly like, oh, congratulations, you play the Buckeyes. That wasn't going to happen. So it wasn't really anything new. I thought the more fun thing was just kind of seeing where teams would fall in the line. Like, obviously one of the big things that I was curious about was the Michigan-Ohio State game going to mm-hmm. go back to the final week of the season? Was it going to stay Thanksgiving weekend, which it, you know, has been for some time.
Right.
So those were the types of things that I was curious about. What was Michigan State? Were they going to, like, you know, looking at the fact that they got to open up with Rutgers, it was like, wow, that's a huge win for Mel Tucker, considering that he is just now starting to install his entire, you know, brand, his scheme,
everything
on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit different than Greg Schiano going to Rutgers, because, I know these are players that never played for him, but at least he's been there. He knows the lay of the land. He could probably mm-hmm. kind of get things going a little bit easier. But at that, like, that's an interesting matchup. Two first-year head coaches. Essentially, you know, going up against each other, having not been able to have any kind of time to really install anything. Mm-hmm. So, and then you look, you know, when you started looking at like Penn State, I thought that their schedule is interesting. Whereas Michigan, for instance, is basically every other week is a difficult week.
Right.
You know, they open at Minnesota. Then they host Michigan State, then at Indiana, which I think is going to be tough. And then it goes basically every other week. Host Wisconsin, Rutgers on the road, host Penn State, then host Maryland, then Ohio State. You look at some of these other teams like Penn State. It's interesting because they open at Indiana, which I think could be a lot tougher than people think.
Right.
Then go to Ohio State. They have a couple weeks that seem a little bit easier. Then they host Iowa, go to Michigan, finish out with Rutgers and MSU. We'll know really early what Penn State is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been curious to know what Penn State's going to be because I think that they lost a lot more production than people realize, you know, between KJ Hamler or Yetur Gross-Matos, Micah Parsons having opted out. I've heard rumblings that he might be back, might not be. We'll see. So there's a lot of interesting things that I look at when it comes to the schedule in that light is more so how it works out, you know, on the calendar. Yeah, because unlike normal seasons, you don't have that warm up. You don't have, you know, Fred's University coming to town, followed by Bob College.
Right.
So it's you don't get that warm up. You're just right into the thick of it right away. So I think that that's, you know, the teams that have those little respites, if they're one of the more top tier programs that has to face maybe the bottom tier early. I mean, like, I think that's interesting, and knowing when those certain pauses or beats come into the schedule, that I think is what makes it all really, really curious.
And Isaiah and I will power rank the hardest to the easiest schedule for each division, going division by division, starting with the Big Ten East, then moving over to the Big Ten West, coming up in the next segment. But first, as we get ready for the Big Ten season, make sure you take this time, folks, to get everything you need to get done before you have to sit on your couch 9 straight Saturdays and do absolutely nothing but watch Big Ten football. One of those things could be making sure that your automobile is running as smoothly as possible. And the best place to take care of that is the convenient self-service at rockauto.com. It's a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Isaiah Hull has told me that he has been using them for a very long time. Maybe not 20 years, but a long time. He trusts in their brand. And Isaiah, this is your moment to pitch Rock Auto to the folks.
I mean, I had a Cadillac that was a hoopty. It, you know, you go and buy an expensive car. It doesn't mean it's going to work as an expensive car, But guess what? Expensive cars, even if they don't act like them, are really expensive to maintain. So I saved a ton of money by going to rockauto.com and, you know, went to my mechanic and said, hey, something's wrong with my car. And he's like, all right, well, you need this, this, and this. Why don't you go to rockauto.com and get those parts? You don't need the top tier parts for this. You maybe need the top tier parts for this. You can get the cheapest possible for this. Guess what? Rock Auto's website, it you can have that choice. It tells you. You select your car, you select your make, your model, and it will tell you this is everything that you need. And it's just absolutely wonderful. Saved me thousands upon thousands of dollars over several years with that stupid hoopty Cadillac.
Very Michigan of you to have a Cadillac, by the way. But even Isaiah's mechanic is recommending rockauto.com. Like Isaiah mentioned, get everything you need. Engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So when you go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, make sure to write Locked On. That's LOCKEDON in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. One more time for the jingle. All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto, rockauto.com. The Big Ten schedule breakdown this week on the Locked On Big Ten show continues. It is Ben Stevens, and it is the host of Locked On Wolverines, Isaiah Hull. And we are now going to go division by division and say whose schedule is the hardest and go all the way down and rank them, power rank, if you will, because it could be power rank season, to the easiest schedule by division. And of course, because we are talking with a man that covers the Michigan Wolverines, we will start in his division, that being the Big Ten East. So Isaiah, we can do this however you want. We can go one by one, or we can just go all 7. You list them, we react, I list mine, and you react. I think maybe that's the way we do it. Maybe go 1 through 7, we both power rank, and then we compare notes.
All right, well, number one, are we going hardest? Starting with the hardest, the easiest.
Yes.
Okay. For hardest, I am going to go with the hometown team here. I'm going to go with Michigan because Michigan does get the cross, when you look at the crossovers, they've got opening at Minnesota,
right,
and then also getting Wisconsin in there. It is a home game. Those are the two of the three teams that I'm looking for on a schedule, as far as looking at West crossovers for the East. Mm-hmm. And then those two, as well as Iowa, if any team, that's the only team that has both of those.
Right.
So to me, that makes that really, really difficult for the Wolverines, because they do get both and they get them early, which could be good, could be bad. But only time will tell as far as that's concerned. My number two hardest is going to go to Indiana. Because they don't get both. I don't think any other team gets both, just kind of looking at the, but Indiana does have to play Wisconsin the penultimate week of the regular season, on top of having to play the three teams in the East, which are obviously really difficult in Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. They mm-hmm. open at Penn State, or sorry, hosting Penn State. So that's, that I think is that much more difficult. I mean, it's just going to be a gauntlet for Indiana. It's like you feel bad for a program like that, just because it's really hard to get a leg up when you got a schedule that's like that.
Right.
After that, let's see. I'm going to go. Actually, I had it and I lost it here, but I'm going to go with Penn State, because. Penn State does get Nebraska and Iowa.
Right.
Iowa's both of them back-to-back in the middle of the season. I think that it's kind of by virtue of the fact that they do Indiana, Ohio State to open the season is what makes that kind of so difficult. Then Maryland, Nebraska, which might be a little bit of a respite. I don't know what Nebraska is going to be, but they always seem to – Nebraska looks the part of being tough, and then, But then after that, they host Iowa, then go to Michigan, right, and then they kind of close out with a little bit easier task by Rutgers and Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Michigan State will be my next one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you just look at the fact that it's Mel Tucker's first season. Yeah, you get to open with Rutgers, but then you're just kind of thrown to it. Like, you might be 1-0, but you could end up, and I would actually probably predict that they'll end up 1-3 after that. And I think it would be a huge win for Mel Tucker if they can be anything better than that.
Right.
With the fact that they play Michigan, at Michigan, at Iowa, and then host Indiana. The back half of the schedule is Maryland, at Maryland, hosting Northwestern, then Ohio State, and then Penn State, going to Penn State. So, I mean, that is just brutal. After that, I think I'm going to go Rutgers. Their crossovers are pretty easy, but I just also realize it's Rutgers, so that's kind of what my reasoning is there.
For
just,
sure.
Hey, it's, Rutgers having any schedule is probably really difficult.
Yep.
But, I think that they get a really easy start with Michigan State. And when I say easy, I just mean a not obvious blowout situation. I think that's
right, not Ohio State or something. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. It's a winnable game. Is what I think. Then Indiana, which I think, even though I'm really high on Indiana, I think that's a winnable game. But then Ohio State after that, I mean, we know that's going to be a bloodbath. Illinois, I think that's a winnable game for them. Then Michigan, then Purdue's a winnable game for them, then Penn State, and then Maryland. So, I mean, Rutgers could get a couple wins under Greg Schiano. I think they have a lot more talent than people think. Then I'm going to go with, we got two more teams left, I believe.
Indeed.
Maryland.
Yep.
Maryland's crossovers are Northwestern, who they go to Evanston to start the season, and Minnesota. I mean, I think those are both potentially winnable games for Maryland, more so Northwestern than Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But getting Minnesota at home, I do think Minnesota partially could be something of a flash in the pan to some degree, because they didn't really play anybody until Penn State. I thought Penn State kind of waltzed in that game with the attitude of, we don't have to do anything but just show up to beat them. And once they played another team with a pulse in Wisconsin, they got absolutely annihilated. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what Minnesota does. But I think the hard part for Maryland is playing Penn State, going to Penn State, and then hosting Ohio State immediately afterwards. A little bit of a respite with Michigan State and then Indiana, and then they go to Michigan before finishing out with Rutgers. And then the easiest schedule in all the land goes to Ohio State, who does have a tough early test in Rutgers. Penn State. But other than that, I mean, I think that Ohio State is probably going to go 8-0 anyway.
Yeah.
But I feel like everyone who made the schedules did them all kinds of favors and being like, we're just going to go ahead. We're going to we'll serve you up Penn State early. You'll know if your season's what you want it to be after week two. After week two, if you don't get it, anyone who wants to opt out could go ahead and do that. have fun. Enjoy yourselves until December 12th when you host Michigan. So.
Right. You're right. And listen, if Ohio State loses to Penn State in week two, I don't think the Buckeyes do. I think they win that game over the Nittany Lions. But if they also run the rest of the table, and then who knows what happens with Penn State, if they falter and somehow Ohio State gets into the Big Ten title game or even plays in that Champions Week 2v2 matchup and the rest of college football shakes out as it does nationally, they still might have a bid for the college football playoff. So it's a very favorable schedule for Ohio State. I agree with you, Isaiah, in most of what you said there. No, without a doubt, Michigan has the hardest schedule in the Big Ten East. Arguably, if you want to compare them against Nebraska from the West, the hardest schedule in all of the Big Ten Conference. For me, number two is Rutgers, mainly for the same reason you said. It's just going to be a tough year for the Scarlet Knights. When you play 8 straight conference games in your first year with Greg Schiano back on campus, you're likely going 0-8, and that's just a sad thing. You need a cupcake game in a non-conference against like a Monmouth, another school from the Northeast that you can hammer down. That's not going to happen this year for the Scarlet Knights. So I had them as my second hardest schedule.
I thought we already established that they're playing Michigan State to open it. So cupcake game right there.
Oh, is that a little shots. Bit of
that's a shots fired.
We're stirring the pot a little bit. Okay, I love it. I love it. We can always have that here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. So like you, I think Indiana has a very tough schedule. They're number three for me, the Hoosiers are. To open with Penn State, you get them at home, still a very tough game. Michigan at home is great, but to go on the road to Ohio State and Wisconsin and Purdue as your two Big Ten crossovers, and Purdue, of course, that rivalry game for the old Oak and Bucket in the final weekend of the season, that's always still a tough game when you finish with a rivalry game. I have Michigan State at number four because some of those games that they play this year on the road, Michigan, Iowa, and at Penn State, thankfully they get Ohio State at home for the Spartans. But I think in year zero of Mel Tucker, as our friends at Locked On Spartans have explained to me, it's going to be tough sledding just because with all the disruptions of this crazy year that has been 2020, like you said, Isaiah, Mel Tucker hasn't even put in anything yet. And now they're just getting the chance to do that in East Lansing. Number five for me is Maryland. Their crossover is really not all that difficult on the road to start the year at Northwestern to have in week one and week two. I just think Minnesota is a pretty tough crossover battle to have. I'm pretty high on the Gophers this year. I think they will continue on a positive trend, and having Tanner Morgan with the consistency with PJ Fleck, I think that will lead to good things for Minnesota this year. Number six for me is Penn State. The crossover is in the middle with Nebraska on the road in Lincoln. Always a tough test, regardless if there's fans or not. Iowa, another one of the top of the Big Ten West, and then on the road at Michigan. That middle pack right there of weeks 3, 4, and 5, coupled with the start of the season with Indiana and Ohio State. Very difficult for the Nittany Lions, but I think they are a good team. And then to finish with Rutgers and Michigan State is great. And like you, I mean, I think it's the easiest schedule in all of the Big Ten, not just because they are one of the most talented teams in Ohio State, but it really worked out for them. The way the schedule makers put out the schedule for the Buckeyes this year, goodness. I mean, if there was a chance of going 8-0, they gave them the best chance of doing it in the Big Ten this season.
They're playing maybe two of the worst teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, as far as their crossovers. Other teams got the best. Ohio State got the worst.
And, I mean, they start off with Nebraska, one of their crossovers, at home. The Big Ten best friendship that now has arisen between the Huskers and the Buckeyes put to the test week one. Week six, on the road at Illinois. That's like a crossover Big Ten matchup that has the makings of if there was ever going to be a weird slip-up for Ohio State, it would be that week, but I don't think it is. I, like you, I think the Buckeyes go undefeated. I think they go 8-0. But to finish with the game, you never know. It is at home in Columbus this year, though. So that was the Big Ten East. We have ranked them 1-7 from hardest to easiest. After the break, we go to the Big Ten West. 1-7, hardest to easiest, with Isaiah Hull on this Thursday edition of the Locked On Big Ten Show. That's coming up next. So before the break, we power ranked the hardest to easiest schedules in the Big Ten East Division. Now we move over to the other side, the Big Ten West. It is Isaiah Hull, the host of Locked On Wolverines, and myself, Ben Stevens, here breaking things down in the Big Ten schedule on your Thursday. So Isaiah, start it off 1-7 in the Big Ten West, 1 being the hardest, 7 being the easiest. How do you see that division playing out?
Well, I mean, we already talked about what the hardest is, and that's Nebraska. I mean,
right.
I do think it's on par with Michigan for the most part, because, I mean, you get Ohio State and Penn State. You open at Ohio State. You don't even get a chance to warm up into your season. You just go and get shellacked in Columbus to start things off. I mean, it doesn't get any more difficult than that. And then with your other crossover being hosting Penn State in week 4, I mean, that's just difficult. But I didn't even mention that after Ohio State, they get no respite because then they host Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to be 0-2. I mean, weirder things have happened, but I mean, at worst 1-1, then they have Northwestern and then Penn State, Illinois, which you never know. Iowa, again, hard. I mean, then, you know, they just finish out the schedule with the West teams. It's just so brutal.
Yeah.
Number two, I think, I mean, it's hard because to figure out who the other ones are, because that's no one's got
no
as difficult of a double crossover.
No,
I'm actually going to go with Wisconsin. And my reasoning is this: their crossovers are Michigan and Indiana.
Yeah.
But Wisconsin and Michigan, much like Penn State and Michigan, the home team tends to win. Wisconsin loses Jonathan Taylor, Tyler Badass, as I like to call him, Zach Bond, Quintez Cephus. I mean, they lost. Like, I don't understand why no one seems to be talking about it nationally, how much Wisconsin lost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably are still going to have a good offensive and defensive line, but they lost their main linebacker. They lost their, I can't say generational running back, because they always have really good running backs, but they're due to not have an obvious amazing running back, whether Jalen Berger is that guy or not. So you just, by virtue of having a team that plays them tough every year, except for last year, really, and an Indiana team that I think is going to be a lot more formidable, especially by week 7, when Wisconsin actually plays them. I mean, I think that's just going to be really difficult for them. Then I'm going to go Illinois, because Illinois opens at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They host Ohio State the weekend of Thanksgiving. So those are the toughest games on their schedule. Their crossover otherwise is Rutgers, which, I mean, that's a pretty good pull, but I mean, you balance that out with Ohio State, that's not great.
Right.
Then I'm going to go with Iowa. Mm-hmm. Normally Iowa would be up there, but with Michigan State on that schedule. But again, Mel Tucker, not like there, it's plus it's week 3 for the Iowa Michigan State game. It's at home for Iowa. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a pretty good middling schedule, in the sense that I think Iowa should be able to handle Purdue, Northwestern, Michigan State. Then they go to both Minnesota and Penn State, finish out with Nebraska, Illinois, and then Wisconsin. So I think that's a really interesting schedule. Let's see. Did I say Minnesota already? I didn't, which I think Minnesota
probably
– I probably should flip Minnesota and Iowa. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm flipping Minnesota and Iowa.
Okay.
Because Minnesota hosts Michigan to start out the season, which – if you're in the Big Ten, that's I know a lot of people aren't giving Michigan as much love as Penn State. I honestly think that they're sleeping on Michigan for a lot of reasons. You know, yes, a lot of new pieces, but I think the consistency at the coordinator position, offensive coordinator with a quarterback that's been on campus, Michigan hasn't had that since 2016.
I mean, Joe Milton's going to win a Tony, so how can you be sleeping on Michigan now?
Exactly. He's getting an EGOT, so – I think that that's a really, really tough pull early, but then they go to Maryland, which I think Maryland's probably still spinning a little bit. I've been one that's always given Maryland a ton of credit, and probably more than they deserve every single year. I'm not doing it again until they prove me otherwise, because every year I think that they're going to be near the top of the Big Ten East, and they're not. Then I'm going to go over to Northwestern, because Northwestern's crossovers. Because now we're getting almost down to the easiest of the easiest. Northwestern's crossovers are Michigan State and Maryland.
Right.
That's a pretty good pull for them. But, I mean, Northwestern's a team. If they went 8-0, would you really be that surprised? You know, like, would I mean, if they went 0-8 or 8-0, I wouldn't be honestly surprised by either result. That's what Northwestern is, especially with this schedule, because they don't have anyone that I feel is super daunting on it. The closest to it being probably Wisconsin, even though I just spent forever dogging on Wisconsin there. Then I'm going to go with, I believe this is my
last
seventh
one,
Purdue.
Yeah.
I mean, Purdue's crossovers are Rutgers and Indiana. And yeah, that last game is always going to be a tough one for them, considering it is a rivalry game. But I mean, you get Rutgers and Indiana as your crossovers.
Yeah.
What did you do, Purdue? What dirt do you have on Kevin Warren?
Right.
I need to know.
I think it's because Jeff Brohm was the initial person the day after the postponement on August 12th. He put out a plan to play a spring season, and they probably appreciated that proactive nature out of Jeff Brohm, who, in my opinion, one of the greatest head coaches in the Big Ten, mainly just for his XFL clip. I mention that every time I talk about Jeff Brohm. So, like you, we agree at our top of both divisions, Michigan in the Big Ten East for sure, Nebraska in the Big Ten West, without a doubt. That start of the season, at Ohio State, Wisconsin at home, Northwestern, but that's always a close game between the Huskers and the Wildcats, and then hosting Penn State, oh my God. And then they get at Iowa and Minnesota to finish their year. I mean, ugh. Sorry, Huskers fans. You want to play football? Here we are. We're playing football. Buckle up. I think they are going to take that mentality for this season. I actually had the Golden Gophers of Minnesota in number two, mainly because I think we will know who they are week one. If this is going to be a successful season for PJ Fleck, being competitive at least in the game against Michigan, but really getting that win and making sure they stay on track to contend for the Big Ten West title, that will be huge. The other crossover at Maryland the second week, but I think it's also difficult when you go on the road at Wisconsin, and what will probably be the game, in my opinion, to decide the Big Ten West, to have that at Camp Randall, that is always going to be a little bit difficult. I have Illinois at number three for the reasons you mentioned. Really, when you have Ohio State as your crossover battle, that's going to be tough, and you are on the road at Wisconsin to start the year. Sure, you upset them last year, but to start the year, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough for Brandon Peters and Lovie Smith. Number four, I have Iowa. Iowa was very lucky from their original schedule. They dropped Ohio State as one of their crossover battles, but to still have on the road at Penn State and Michigan State in a normal year would be a very tough crossover battle, but to have them week three, I think that benefits them. But on the road at Minnesota in week four is going to be difficult for the Hawkeyes this year, breaking in a new quarterback with Spencer Petras. Number five, I have Wisconsin. They really do have two of the hardest crossover outside of Nebraska. I think you could say they have the hardest crossover schedule from the Big Ten West, on the road at Michigan and then hosting Indiana in week seven. But I think Wisconsin, just being the talent that they are, I can't give them one of the harder schedules. They are number five, in my opinion. Purdue is number six for many of the reasons you mentioned. Your crossovers are Indiana and Rutgers. You're on the road at Minnesota. You're on the road at Wisconsin, rather. That is rather difficult when you look at your own divisional opponents. But still, Purdue number six. And then Northwestern, in my opinion, the easiest schedule in the Big Ten West. And let's not forget, Northwestern had a terrible season last year in 2019. But in 2018, they were the Big Ten West champions. So you're right. Maybe they could go 8-0 and run off and go crazy and surprise everybody and win the Big Ten West. And this schedule sets them up for it. When you have Maryland and Michigan State as your crossover opponents, that's going to benefit you. And you get Nebraska and Wisconsin at home. The turf at Ryan Field for those two games is going to be knee high. They are going to do everything they can to make those games a daunting battle.
Or they could go 0-8. It could be 8-0. I think, honestly, let's just be fair here. Northwestern's either going 8-0 or 0-8. They're not going to be in between.
We'll finish with that prediction on your Thursday episode of the Locked On Big Ten show. Isaiah Hull, the host of Locked On Wolverines, thank you very much for coming on, running it back on a Thursday. Maybe not as exciting as bringing Big Ten football back from the brink, but breaking down a Big Ten schedule is never too bad.
No, at least I'm coherent this time, whereas last time it was an early morning and everything was happening. So this time it's good.
and the world as we know it changed forever. One more episode on your Locked On Big Ten podcast this week, coming up tomorrow with Matt Sheehan of Locked On Spartans. So until we talk on Friday, have a splendid Thursday.